is coming. Between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, it's your good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just out off from about San Antonio with the radio blastin' and the bird dog on. There's a deep trap in my head, sound the town, but no local yoga gonna shut me down. Cause me and my boys got this rig around, and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar jam.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
Welcome to Doc's Freedom Files.
Freedom. Keep walking, keep on your toes, and don't stop talking about freedom.
Well, they're at it again. Your cultural and intellectual betters at the EPA have decided that your wood-burning stove is now an unacceptable threat to the nation's environmental security. They are going to make it illegal. Not only will it be made illegal, but you will be required to scrap it without compensation. This, by any reasonable measure, would be a taking requiring compensation from the government. But in our constitution-free zone of a country, nothing should surprise you anymore. Apparently, the EPA discovered that wood stoves make smoke. Yes, you see, smoke is mostly particulate matter suspended in the air. The EPA has decided that 15 micrograms of particulate matter per cubic meter of air smoke is unacceptable, but that 12 microgram smoke is just hunky-dory. It should not surprise listeners that this arbitrary distinction will instantly make the vast majority of wood stoves in America illegal. This, a variation on the Obama administration's stroke of the pen, law of the land, seems to be stroke of the pen, freeze in the dark, for you peasants. The EPA is an agency conceived during the 1960s-era flower power generation's dewy-eyed environmentalism. Though a lot of folks thought it was a good idea at the time, it has, as should have been expected by anyone with more sense than a tie-dyed t-shirt, become a notoriously bloated, intrusive agency, infamous for everything from making air conditioning needlessly more expensive to using drones to spy on American citizens. The wood stove imbroglio is a prime example of government run amok. The specter of lavishly salaried and benefited .gov poegas enjoying taxpayer-provided heat while telling the Jones family of northern Georgia or the Smiths in Michigan's Upper Peninsula to take their wood stove to the scrapyard is beyond obscene. These parasites deserve to be crushed like bugs, though in defense of insects, our six-legged little friends generally serve more social utility than do EPA bureaucrats. By the way, poega is a new word I just coined. I encourage you to use it. It's an acronym for pimple on a gnat's ass, and is well applied to any fool of an authoritarian or totalitarian stripe. Here are some examples. That damn code enforcement poega said I had to dig up my petunias. Or, that damned homeowners association poega said we couldn't set up the grandkids' swimming pool in the backyard. See? It's easy and fun. But back to wood stoves. If I might be permitted to mangle a line from the firearms folks, They'll get our wood stoves when they pry the warm cast iron from our cold, dead fingers. This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. Well, it's that time again. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. 5th of December. Supposed to be some serious things happening today, and I think two things precluded that. One of them was the death of Bush, and the other one was, a lot of it I think was fake news to start with. I don't, never had any serious, what do you call it, verification. There's no way to confirm any of that. There was just a lot of talk on Q and on some of the other sources there that serious stuff was supposed to happen today. So, and some of it may have in the background, I don't know, but I haven't seen any of it yet. So we'll keep an eye out in case something happens. Let me scoot over here to the chat room real quick, and let's look here. No, let's don't look there. Why is this? Let's try this one more time. There we go. Got it. Now, go right here to the chat room. Okay, Mountain Shooter, T-Bone, Yakima Glock, thank you. 5x5, Copper. All right, glad to see all you guys in here tonight. Oh, Nan is maybe listening. She's trying. She's on the road, so she may have service, may not, but... Let's see, AZ Bound is with us. Looks like he's been there for a little while, too. And the Tinker and Doc and Mountain Shooter and NM Glock. T-Bow, Anonymous. All right, let's move on. We've got a lot of stuff that I think we're going to see. I can't even imagine how bad or how, you know, how bad it's going to be come the first of the year when the Democratic House takes over. But from the looks of the things that we're getting right now, I'd say we may really be in for a fight. The Third Circuit Court just today has ruled. Now, you know, courts can't have no power from the bench, but it seems that that's... People just jump on that sometimes and allow it to happen anyway. But in a 2-1 decision, the panel of the Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit refused to stop the enforcement of New Jersey's 10-round magazine ban. The majority, in an opinion by Judge Schwartz and joined by Judge Greenaway, both appointed by Obama, naturally, held that the ban did not violate the Second Amendment because it reasonably advanced the state's interest in reducing mass shootings without severely burdening the rights of law enforcement, law-abiding citizens. So I'm not going to read the whole decision here. It's kind of lengthy. But that's what New Jersey has to look out for right now.
And they're saying you just have to turn them in. They're not grandfathered in or anything like that. They just, if you've got them, you got to give them up. So there you have it. Let's see. Let me find, there's some others here. I got so many here. I'm going to try to sort these out. Here we go. Boulder, Colorado. Knew I had another one here somewhere. Boulder's given their residents just a few days to certify their rifles or face the consequences. And Colorado used to be a fairly pro-gun state, but that changed. That started changing pretty rapidly after the shooting at the theater in Aurora, Colorado, a few years ago. And the killer was caught.
Three women were leaving their home off Mark.
Hold on a minute. Why do I have someone talking on my show here? Hush. Okay. They caught the guy right away and everything. Had no further risk to the public or anything. But that didn't mean that the anti-gun folks didn't jump on the opportunity just as soon as they could. So since then, we've seen several different, you know, little pieces here and there of anti-gun legislation. And the newest thing here, they're giving people that own so-called assault rifles, you know, whatever their definition is, I don't know, but they're giving them until December 27th to certify their assault weapons or remove the firearms from the city limits. If you fail to comply with this, then you could face fines, jail, and confiscation. I'm assuming that certify means register. Confiscation and destruction of your firearms if you fail to comply. Boulder police say they have certified 85 firearms since the city passed this assault weapons ban in May. So it looks like they're not doing too good. Residents already owned prohibited rifles, pistols, and shotguns were given the chance to keep their firearms by certifying prior ownership with the police. Council also voted unanimously to ban high-capacity magazines and bump stocks. This Councilman Aaron Brockett said in May, "My hope is that we'll see more bans at the state level and one day at the federal level, so these weapons will no longer be available." There's no official records at this point being kept, and the police are only having a handwritten count of how many of these certifications are being done. So there's nothing, from the sounds of this, there's nothing permanent or official to keep track of this stuff, which is not a good thing either. Difficult to estimate compliance levels, and the police and city officials have admitted that they can't do much about gun owners who refuse to certify their rifles. It's a very divisive issue where people have very strong feelings. Folks who oppose these kind of bans, some of them suggest, he says, the guy said ban right there. He didn't say certification. He didn't say legislation. He didn't say rules, policies, or ideas or anything. He said people who oppose these kinds of bans, some of them suggest they're not going to cooperate. I can't predict what people are going to do, but I respect the feelings. Well, we'll see. We'll keep an eye on what's going on up in Boulder, Colorado. As it stands, Boulder will still have people with these rifles. It'll have them, and they'll keep the worst of this kind of thing away. It'll let the gun grabbers live in the delusion that they're somehow safer, at least for a little while. But it doesn't change the fact that it's wrong. So, and here's the deal, here's the problem with this. Yeah, you can keep your guns. If you refuse to comply, don't say anything, don't shoot them, don't take them out, don't let anybody know, don't go to the range, don't share that information with your friends, especially with your ex-wife, and yeah, you can keep your gun. So what? Everybody's keeping it for that mythical day when there's going to be a civil war, there's going to be a revolution. And so they're gonna bury their guns, put them away, and by damn, I'm not going to comply. I can't use my gun anymore, but I didn't comply. So, we'll see what happens here. The, let's see here. Yeah, come on, Glock, that's funny. All right, let's move on here to another one. We're going to talk some more about this legislation stuff here, probably in the second half of the show. We've got some interesting stuff. I have had a guy ask me for some help with a legislator in Idaho, and I got some help from some people in Idaho and Washington. Got lots of ideas and statements and quotes and stuff like that. So we'll spend some time on that, and this may help you guys in your quest to help others, to convince people that other than just saying, well, it's my right. Now, I've obviously, we could just say it's my right, and that should be the end of the story, but that's not how it works. It should be how it works, but it's not. We'll spend some time on that in a little while. Hang on here a second. I may have some breaking news coming in. What is this? It is not breaking news. Okay. All right. Let's move on here to, there's another one, North Carolina Board of Elections. This is about, I don't even know how many this is now. What is it, four or five? That's we had that gal in Florida. This one, North Carolina Board of Elections chairman resigns amid election fraud investigation. And there should be a whole lot more of this, going on. There should be some of this going on right here in Arizona. There should be some people that are charged and tried and found guilty, punished accordingly. But so far, it seems that everybody here in Arizona is just getting away scot-free. There's not anything going on at all. So maybe that'll change here in the future. I don't know. But there's several of them that have either got caught or given up, one or the other, and are giving themselves up, I guess. The investigation of criminal conduct and absentee voting fraud in the 2018 Republican primary and 2018 general election in Congressional District 9 is a matter of vital importance to our democracy, or our republic, as it were. The investigation should be free of attempts at distraction and obstruction so that the truth can be revealed. I will not allow myself to be used as an instrument of distraction in this investigation. In the best interest of this investigation, and completely on my own accord, I resign from the North Carolina Board of Elections and Ethics Enforcement, effective immediately. So there you have it. We'll see what happens there. All right, moving right along. There is, this is a kind of a change of topics here to some degree. There are three women in Michigan, one of them 75 years old, one of them 55 years old, and one of them 29. I'm guessing that there's a possibility here that this was daughter, mom, and grandma. What it kind of sounds like here. But they were getting ready to go to church, got interrupted by a home invader, and they opened fire on him, and he is no longer with us. So he will not be going to church. He may be, but he'll be in a box. So said they were leaving for church about 10:30 in the morning when a man confronted them in the driveway and forced them back inside. None of the women were identified. Once in the house, the 55-year-old woman quickly retrieved a gun and fired two shots at the man, striking him at least once in the chest. Lady next door said she heard the shots. She said, I was about to go to church and I heard the shots. They put up a crime tape and I went to church. Police said the man, who is believed to be in his 30s, pronounced dead at the scene. The woman who pulled the trigger will not face any charges. I love stories with happy endings. The shooting was an act of self-defense. I applaud these women for doing what they did, or the one especially. But I wish that she'd had the gun on her. what if, and you can what if these things to death, but that's kind of what we do when we train people and look into these types of things. What if this happened? And don't come up with some fairy tale stupid thing that couldn't happen. What about, what if it's just a simple matter of, what if he took them in the house and just shot all three of them? Or what if he took them in the house and happened to grab the one that knew where the gun was and shoved them all in a bedroom and shut the door? There's any number of things that could have been prevented by having quicker access to the gun without having to break away and run and get the gun. Now, it worked out for her. I'm glad. I'm not criticizing much. I guess you'd call it constructive criticism. I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad she did what she did. And, all of that, but I wish they just put the gun in their purse or put it in their fanny pack or their pocket or do something and have it with them. We're going to talk about this concerning a video here in a little bit. We're still got a little bit before break time here. Remember the guy up in Idaho, what the heck was his name? Jack Yantis, that was shot and killed November 1st, 2015. Well, apparently, and this story's a week old, the county has paid $2.6 million to his family. It's nice to have that kind of money and get, all the legal fees taken care of, hopefully, and all this kind of stuff, but that doesn't bring Jack back. This was, remember we had talked also here, what was it, 6 months ago or so, or maybe even a year ago, I don't remember. But we talked about the deputy that shot the guy, that shot Jack Antis. And, he had had a history of things that didn't look good for him. Things that kind of would lead one to believe that he was looking for a chance to do something like that anyway. I don't remember the guy's name, but according to the story, he was a real jerk. So I don't know if anything's happened to him since then or not, but anyway. $2.6 million, that's a good thing. Let's see. DeTinker? Yeah, that's exactly right. DeTinker, for those of you not on the chat room, asking if we had a good recipe for tar and feathers. Yeah. Nate M. Glock, that's exactly right, and I've said that on this show 1,000 times, is that the county pays, writes the check, but it's still the taxpayer's money. And numerous times I've said when things like this happen, they need to sue the people individually. They need to sue the sheriff, the deputy, the judges involved, whoever else was involved, chief of police, whatever. Each one individually and personally, not the department, because every taxpayer in that county has had to pay that $2.6 million. And very much of that goes on, you can bet that your county taxes will be going up in order to cover that stuff. Same thing at Ruby Ridge. That guy got $3 million, but he's missing a wife, missing a son, missing a dog, and missing a good portion of his life, and the taxpayers paid for that too.
What was the sniper's name? Lon Horiuchi is out selling, spokesman for gun part companies and whatnot. He was with a stock company for a while, and they got rid of him, and then he went into. We covered this not too long ago. I don't remember all the details to it, but
Anyway, so taxpayers are still paying him and paying everybody else the $3 million. Let's see, Chandler, Arizona, right here at home. We're almost right here at home, 3 hours away. There was a couple of guys here, an old guy and a gal. Drove through the door at Shopper's Supply in a stolen pickup truck and made off with 21 handguns. Can you believe that? Drove through the entrance, grabbed, smashed the display case. This was 11 o'clock at night, so they were closed. A little early for that kind of stuff. Usually people choose, you know, 2, 3, or 4 o'clock in the morning to do this kind of stuff. But and this may actually have had something to do with how quickly they got caught. But anyway, took off on foot to a farm where they picked up a woman in a different pickup truck. Police said they tried to stop the truck, but it refused to pull over. They finally did get them to pull over. They haven't got all the guns back. If I heard on the radio correctly, they'd gotten 12 of them back. And don't remember and hear the whole all the details to it, but this is all the stuff going on right now. Let's see, we got that one. Okay, let's talk about this video a little bit. I watched this a couple of times, and let's see here, there we go. Now what happened was there's a, let's see if I can find the cotton picking, there we go. This guy came in a store, and there was a woman and her daughter in there. An adult daughter. Guy's name was Tyrone Lee, if that tells you anything. And he was shot multiple times as he come in there. But he came in the store, and I believe the store, I think it was Science Academy, maybe. I don't remember. Anyway, he came through the door and demanded cash. And from what I could tell from watching the video, they kind of tried to comply a little bit just to draw his attention away. And hang on just a minute. Let me back this up a little bit. And the guy, he turned his back, and the younger one grabbed a pistol from under the counter. She didn't shoot. The other lady, the older lady, she come around there and grabbed what looked to be like a revolver. And she shot multiple times while he was running away. He came back, and I guess he didn't run out the door. He came back, and now here's where, you know, you this is a difficult thing for people to do. You know, overwhelmingly, most of us have a little spark of goodness in there somewhere, no matter how hardcore we seem to be. There's a little bit of goodness in there. And he'd come back in, both hands bloody. He'd been shot multiple times, still on his feet. And the older lady got over and got too close to him. And he grabbed her and is wrestling with her. And the girl's trying to get a shot off and she's scared to hit her mother, or the other lady, I guess it's her mother. And anyway, ultimately she got a shot off and he dropped the lady. He come up, it looks like he's pleading for her and tell her, you know, I just want to leave. He's pointing towards the door and he keeps approaching her, coming closer to her. And, the I'm watching this again here. If I had a link for it, I'd put it on the chat room for you. But the younger one is trying to comply. She got her hands up and everything, and he turns around and leaves. That's when she grabs the gun, and then the older lady grabs the gun. And when he gets a hold of her, this is why you shoot until the threat is eliminated.
there's, you know, this is one of the biggest things that we argue about in every class is whether you shoot to kill or not. You do not shoot to kill. If he dies, that's fine. The idea is that you do not shoot to kill. At least don't ever let anybody know that you did. So he keeps fighting with this older woman. He's trying to take the gun away from her. She's holding on for dear life. He ain't turning it loose for nothing. And he shot at the younger girl. She shot him at least twice. And anyway, pretty soon he just tumbled over and fell down on the floor. And I figured he probably died, but it doesn't say. I have to go back to the beginning here and see if he died or not. I'm not sure if he did. Anyway, whatever the case was, you need to make sure you shoot until the threat is eliminated. Oh, it was a liquor store. Forest Acres Liquor Store is what it was. And this happened. This just happened. What's the date on this story? Okay, this happened about 4 or 5 months ago, 6 months ago. They never turned these videos loose the next day, so. But they just did get the video. So this is the thing that, you remember the story with Amy and the goat. And she assumed after the first shot, the way the goat acted, set back on his haunches, eyes rolled back in his head, and for all outward appearances, it was game over. And she turned her back on him and walked out. And this goat had a death wish, I guess, but he was out for vengeance anyway. He come off there and chased her on 2 feet, standing up on his hind legs, and she happened to hear it. And I think he knocked her down again. And that's when she wound up being able to shoot him in the head. So this is, fortunately, it wasn't a bad guy with a gun, but it was still a potential life-threatening experience. And she did really well, except for the fact where she turned and left him in there instead of doing what we call after-action assessments and making sure that he was down, or, you know, backing out and watching him that way or something like that. But it all turned out good. She managed to make the stopping shot there at the end and worked out just fine. Anyway, there you have it. All right, we're going to talk about some other stuff after the break. So if you guys will just hang on there with me just for a couple of minutes, we're going to take a little break. And let's see here. Got to get something here for you. I'm trying to find something new. We need to make some new stuff. You know, we just have some of this stuff is getting some years on it. And I think we need to spiff this up a little bit. So let's throw this up there for right now, and that'll do.
I'll be back.
I was in a small airplane, and all of a sudden, the engine on the wing caught fire. It exploded, and burning oil was poured all over the right side of the airplane, and we started to dive toward the earth. We were spinning down to our death. Oh, this woman across the aisle, I just was so sorry for her. She was just absolutely uncontrollably hysterical. And I was calm. I was totally calm. Even though I knew I was going down to my death, I was ready to meet my maker. We didn't crash. We didn't die. The spiral dive extinguished the flame. The pilot got control and started the other engine up. And we made an emergency landing out in the field. But I thought through that experience, if you've got faith, you can handle difficulties. Knowing that with an eternal perspective that all will be well. In Luke 21, the earth shall be in distress. Nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear. What we're seeing is a prediction that in these latter days, people will be afraid. Men's hearts are failing, and that includes women, because they forget their identity and their purpose. The heartaches will come. I've lived through the death of a wife and the death of a daughter. I've seen the troubles that divorce brings. Children or grandchildren go astray. Disability, illness, injuries. To the individual who is weak in the heart, fearful in the heart, be patient with yourself. Perfection comes not in this life, but in the next life. Don't demand things that are unreasonable, but demand of yourself improvement. As you let the Lord help you through that, He will make the difference. I'm so grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ that allows me that kind of strength in these tumultuous times.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, we're back. Let's finish this up. There was a, let's see, I think I got all my other stuff out of the way here. Let me check and make sure. Yeah, I believe so. I have one deal here. Let me check and see why that's. Well, let me just go on into this. There's a new legislator in Idaho, and apparently there's some discussion in Idaho right now, and we'll probably tomorrow or the next day gonna hear about this. This guy said they needed some strong arguments for tomorrow or the next day to protect Idaho's open carry law, to keep open carry legal in the state of Idaho. Open carry has been legal in Idaho for many, many years. There has been some restrictions that I didn't care for much when I lived there, but they weren't bad. They weren't as bad as some places. And, of course, now they're a constitutional carry state. So he asked me, he said, can you help me with some advice? He said, I told the guy that it's our right, and that wasn't good enough for him. He said, they need strong arguments, okay? Strong argument, as far as I'm concerned, it's our right, end of story. That's a right, that's it. But obviously, the people that he's fighting don't see it that way. They need compelling evidence that that they need to allow this to continue. So I got the legislator's name, just in case anyone's wanting to know. His name is Chad Christensen, a new guy in District 32. So if you're in Idaho and we're near there and you can help these people out, well, get on with it. He beat out Tom Loescher. Loescher, I think is the way you pronounce that, something like that. He was a Republican. He was a Rhino. And he held up a lot of pro-gun bills and was not gun owner's friend by any means. So I went and I'm looking for, I talked to some of my friends that are very knowledgeable in this kind of stuff. We put together some stuff for him, and one of them was the first response that he should give to his fellow legislators is they're asking him for a reason why they should keep it. And he just took that and run with it. He should have said, give me a reason why we should not keep it legal. He's going on the defensive there instead of the offensive, really, and kind of going backwards at it. So they need to make a compelling case for banning open carry, not him come up with some reason why not to ban something that's legal and traditional and been that way for a long time. So, you know, he should say, convince me to ban it. Don't ask me for reasons why you should. So they also need to come up with some idea, like showing some kind of evidence that shows that open carry leads to an increase in crime. That's not the case in Idaho. It's not the case anywhere. Anywhere. But especially in Idaho. So I also texted Chris Ann Hall about this and got some advice from her. And I'm going to place a link on the chat room for you right now that I think this will do it. And you guys, when you get a chance, this is her lesson on gun control, and it is so good. I've listened to Chris Ann give this I don't know how many times. And when I was doing, you know, when I was with her at different venues and stuff. And let's see, let me put this in here and see if this works. Maybe that'll work, but I'm going to have to delete a whole bunch of it here because it. Hang on just a second. Let me see if I can figure out how to do this. Here, I've got a better idea. No, I don't have a better idea because, dang it, let's see here. Stand by just a minute and see if I can put that in. Let's see, if you went to Chris Ann Hall's website and look for, it says a lesson on gun control. Let's see if I can do this. This way. No, that's not doing it right either. I tell you what, I can do it this way. Stand by. This will work, I think. At least it should work. All right, let's try. Let's try this. I'm going to put this in the chat room for you. And sometimes I just hate my life, you know what I mean? This is one of those times. I'm waiting and I'm waiting. Well, forget it. Go find it yourself. I'm wasting too much time on this. So let me get back over here. And after I sent him Chris Ann Hall's deal, there was a let me look here and see. All right. Stay with me here a minute. All right. There was a quote that Chris Ann gave me from Patrick Henry. He said, "Are we at last brought to such humiliating and debasing degradation that we cannot be trusted with arms for our defense? Where is the difference between having our arms in possession and under our direction and having them under the management of Congress? If our defense be the real object of having those arms, in whose hands can they be trusted with more propriety or equal safety to us as in our own hands?" And then there's the other one. You all have heard this one before. "Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. Unfortunately, nothing will preserve it but downright force. Whenever you give up that force, you are inevitably ruined." Another Patrick Henry quote. So if you look back, even all the way back to the founding fathers, to the beginning of our country, open carry in some cases was mandatory if you wanted to carry a gun. Concealed carry was prohibited because how can you trust someone that conceals their gun? Got to be a bad guy. He's got to have some other kind of motive there. What's some criminal intent for hiding that gun? And Washington State at one time had a ban on open carry. You had to have a CCW and it had to be concealed. Now, this was the same way with Utah. It's not the same either. Utah, you cannot carry openly unless you have a CCW or it's unloaded, one or the other. So in Washington, this open carry was considered brandishing. Oregon was the same way, considered brandishing. So they dropped that for whatever reason and don't know when. That's something to research and find out what led up to the allowing that change in Washington. So there's what's going to happen is he's going to come up with these things and they're going to say, well, we're not banning guns at all. They're all simply requiring that the handguns be concealed, probably so the sight of one doesn't make somebody, you know, wet their pants when they see them. It's probably what's happening here. He needs to convince them, declare to them that this is a ban. It is a ban. If they're saying that you can't have something or you can't do something or you can't in any form, it's a ban, period. It just is. So if they, and Chris Ann also said, if they limit the use and applicability of your property, it's also a taking of that property without due process, which they do all the time. I don't know why that's even that won't matter to them, but that's it is a fact. And the other thing is to challenge their constitutional jurisdiction to do such a thing. The first thing you should say is, okay, is this what you're trying to do? Is it constitutional? Yes or no? Convince me, prove to me that it's constitutional, and we'll go from there. So another thing that is happening here, not related to this, this is something that has been, we've seen it on Breitbart and Washington Post, and hey, Clint Byers in there listening to us tonight. Clint, good to see you, by golly. He's not in the chat room, but he's listening. But the other thing is, oh man, I just got some bad news. All right, let me get my mind straight here. Let me find it here. Dang it. Oh, here we go. One of the first bills that the Democrats plan to introduce in Washington after the January swearing in will be to make private sales of firearms strictly illegal. Now, it took a little while to confirm that. The only confirmation we have right now is we've seen it on Breitbart.
We've seen it on Freedom Outpost, and we've seen it on Washington Post, and by now, hopefully, there's more. But that is just watch for all the stuff that's going to happen after January. It's going to be a poop storm deluxe. Prices are going to go up. Availability is going to go down. Ammunition is going to go up. If you need anything, you've got a month or less than a month to get it. Sometime in January, February, you're going to start seeing these prices go up and some of these. Right now, you know, well, I said this the other day. I guess I don't need to repeat it, but I'm going to repeat it just because there may be one person out there that didn't hear it. This is probably the first time ever that you can buy two functional ARs for what one AK-47 cost, or one Wasser 10, or whatever you want to call it. They call them AK-47. That's kind of a misnomer, but anyway. That's not to the penny. That's not exactly right, but there are functional ARs out there right now for, you know, $400. And AKs have not gone down that much. But that's all going to change soon. Anyway. All right. Did I get everything said that I wanted to say? Oh, yeah, I was going to say crap. And that was to the private sales ban. This was something that was discussed at some length quite a while back when they were talking about, especially during the magazine ban, I mean the high-capacity magazine ban, the 1994 assault weapon ban. And they serial numbered these magazines, or they didn't serial number, they just printed on them that they were for law enforcement, government use only, if they were over 10 rounds. And we were stuck for 10 years with, was it 10 years? Yeah, 2004 when they got rid of it. We were stuck with 10-round magazines. It wasn't illegal to own the other ones. It was just illegal to buy them. And if you got caught with a magazine that said law enforcement and government use on it, then it was a felony. Until after the law, after 2004, you could have all of them you wanted. And I've still got a bunch of them. Having a gun shop, I put a few of them back on a shelf there. So just in case, you know, one of these days when I might need one of those for something, I'd have them. And then the ban went away, and the restriction went away, and my magazines did not go away. They just found a new home. All right, well, I've babbled and struggled through this all cotton picking night, trying to get through here. I've got so much going on, but we've just about got it licked. So Friday night, it looks like everything is a go. We'll be doing a few Christmas songs. Won't get too heavy into it, but oh, wait. Friday night, that's the 7th, right? Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to, between now and then, I'm going to have to do a pre-record for you. I want to give you a good, fresh show, but I will... I don't know. One way or another, if I'm not here, I will have a good, fresh pre-record for you. I forgot the show started at 9. We've got another thing to go to at 7, and it may very well be over, and I can be back in time. So we'll play it by ear. Either way, you'll have a fresh new show on Friday night. So watch out for that. And if I can get all the right buttons pushed here, I'll start easing towards the door and let nature take its course and I'll get on out of here. There we go. Nature took its course. Okay. All right. Hopefully I'll see you guys Friday. I'll either see you or you will see a pre-record. A brand new, fresh pre-record. Lucky you. All right. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.